We need to do this. I want to bring three people in here.
Right.
With whiteboards, little tiny whiteboards here, and I want you to tell a wrestling story just like that again, a storyline, and I want to see the comprehension of how much they could pull away from that. That was like, that was nine names, eight stories, three chairs, and all I heard was Kenny at the end.
Welcome to Three with V, with me, Rob Kosovich. Joining me as always, my co-host, my friend, Christian Zeke.
How you doing, everybody? How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing very good. How are you, Zeke?
I'm happy for the third episode. We've done three of these now.
Three with Z.
Unless I have a heart attack halfway through this thing, but we've done three.
We've sat down to record for three. It's a big thing.
We apologize for missing last week, but we both had several endeavors that we got stuck on.
Stuck like super glue. How was your week?
My week's been... We missed recording, so it wasn't that great a week, but...
They're not going to know we missed recording.
I'm honest to my audience. I'm honest. I'm sorry you're not. You've been reading that Trump book too much. That's what's going on here. Fucking lie.
It's in my head.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Millionaire readers. But no, my week's been eventful. I haven't been involved because of the way my last relationship ended. I tried to just avoid getting involved in anything that's close to resembling anything that possibly could maybe be interpreted as something that could be a relationship. And, of course, the first thing that happens is something like that. I met a girl on the 19th at one of my shows. For those of you who don't know, I'm a stand-up comedian. I felt it's time I give that plug.
Yeah, you should mention that you're doing a show once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's a reason that you're on the show.
There's a reason it's Z. You know, it's I am a comedian. I try my best to be. But I finished up a show. I met this young lady. And just like every single girl I've ever talked about with you or BR, I always think everything is wonderful on the surface. But I secretly know how bad it is. I know that if I'm calling you up to be like, this girl I just met is awesome, I know she's not. Like, but I ignore it.
You get excited for the bad one.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
I go excited for just that there's the... Like, I like the craziness, and then I'm like, you know what? I could change this craziness. I could warp this crazy. I could harness this craziness into something that is mine, you know?
Right, you're the craziness windmill. Harnessing
the
power.
Great. I was thinking of, like, the whore whisperer, but thank you for calling it the windmill thing. That's more appropriate for the children listeners. We had a great time. We went out two other times. It was a great time. And, of course, we became involved. We became involved after the show, and that was it. That was fine. But I thought... It just seems to be with some women, the more you let them know that this isn't going to be anything...
Right.
They hear the complete opposite of that. So this girl has a severe problem with the fact that, I don't know, that I say I don't want to be involved or I say that I don't want a relationship. I don't want any of that because I got the... You ever get the hey and goodnight drunk text?
Yes, sure.
Okay. She went out last Thursday, okay, and she went out with three of her friends, and I've never met these three friends,
okay. But
I'm assuming they're drinkers because she came... I didn't even see her, but, like, she wanted to FaceTime. If any girl wants to FaceTime, you know she's blackout drunk, okay?
Is that a fact thing? I've never FaceTimed with anybody.
You're not talking enough alcoholic women because it's bad. It's a bad thing, and it never makes any sense. It's always, like, walking down the block. They're walking bar to bar, that kind of thing.
Oh, it sounds like an awful FaceTime.
It is, but
I would... It's a bad phone call, let alone now I have to look at it.
Thank you. Now I got to sit there like this. But this was the one night during the week. I need one night where I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not even saying anything good. I just don't want to be doing anything bad that night.
Just a neutral day.
I want to be laying down. I want to watch TV one night. I just want to relax. And this was like right at the cusp of falling asleep. I figured I had another like an hour before I go. And I was sitting there and I got the first hey text from her.
The game is afoot.
Yeah, it was a hey with a... It was either a smiley or a wink or a kiss, blow, or whatever the fuck it was. But I was like, and I was just like, I was being very short because I was dying. I was exhausted. I wanted to go to sleep. It's like 11:30.
You're always a little short.
I'm always a little short. Fuck you. So, sitting there and I'm doing like the ha 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 and the LOLs to anything she says. And I'm not going to go into details of what the conversation were, but it wasn't making any sense. It didn't need to be talked about then. It didn't need to be talked about later. It's something that she was just drunk.
Right.
Have you ever seen, like, this thing, or bit the bell, or, like, you know, and it was just, so I'm just letting all the women who listen to this, if a guy is just answering you one LOL, meaning L-O-L, or a ha-ha, that is a key that you need to wind down the conversation to a halt. So I was doing that, I was doing an LOL and a ha-ha-ha, I did that, like, three times, and all of a sudden I got a, fine, I guess you don't want to talk, fine.
Oh, so she got the message.
She didn't, though. Because she said that, and then all of a sudden, I lay back down 5 minutes later, and I get, hey. Hey. Like, the other conversation didn't happen. So I said, hey. And she's like, so what are you doing? I'm like, I'm laying down. She's like, it's so funny. I'm like, LOL, ha ha ha. LOL, ha ha.
Oh, so you're agreeing with her that it is so funny. Hey.
But, yeah, it is. But then that's the key that I'm going to sleep, you know? Once again, I get a, hey. And this is all in 15-minute increments, like fucking clockwork. And then I started where I wasn't answering it. This went on for about 45 minutes.
Does she seem like the kind of girl, is she just on the repeater? You get so drunk, you just start repeating?
That's exactly what it was. But okay. I'm never going to, I rubbed it in her face the next day, bad. I'm like, yo, you have a serious issue with, like, me knowing where I was at. No, I didn't. I was just, it was tequila. I went out. I was with my friends. Like, I'm sorry. I'm never talking to you again when I'm like that. I'm like, no, please do. It's great for my comedy career. Like, this is amazing. Like, I want to screenshot the entire conversation. But it was just, it was a hell of a Thursday. But it's all worked out now.
That's excellent.
You've never had that happen?
Not once.
The good night and then the hey 15 minutes later. We're just going to forget that.
I'm the hayer.
Oh, you're the hayer?
Oh, yeah.
I wish that, like, I could pull that off with a girl, like, where I drop a line. Like, oh, just so you know. Like, if I ever get in trouble for anything where, like, I get caught cheating or something like that. And then the line, I could just negate the first conversation. Where it's, okay, you did this, you're a piece of shit. Okay, fine, no problem, we're done. Hey. I don't know. Women are the only ones who could do that. Guys can't pull it off. But, yeah, she was on the repeater. She's not a weirdo. Hopefully, maybe something turns out later on.
Maybe things will get weird.
This isn't already. How was your week, bud?
My week was great. It was a big week for wrestling. I've been in a wrestling hole for all week. The Golden Lovers are back together. So, love is real. You should keep going out there and trying, Christian. And the Royal Rumble happened this week.
Do we have to talk about this? Can you tell the audience what I did that was embarrassing?
So, the Royal Rumble was on January 28th or 29th.
It's 28th, yeah.
And on a Sunday.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, you texted me, I can't wait to watch the Rumble this Sunday.
Because that's how bad my week was prior. I was in such a fuck-up that I couldn't believe that I missed the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I was just like, well, you... I don't think I even told you at first. I was just like, yeah.
Uh-huh. Your brother did. I texted everybody once I realized. I thought, I was like, oh shit, Sunday. I texted your brother, I texted you. It was just embarrassing. I missed a wrestling event, and that's like, that was the down point of my week.
Yeah, it's a rough one when you miss Shinsuke Nakamura winning the Rumble.
Why? I'm so mad they made him win that.
He threw Roman at you. Rather Roman win again?
No, I don't want any. Why does that have to be the other option?
Because he was the other one in the ring. It was him, Cena, and I think Finn, your boy Finn.
Finn, give it to Balor. Was he the demon or no? He's not the demon.
No, he's just
demon in the Rumble.
But he's doing Balor Club, so it's basically, it's like him and Gallows and Anderson doing Bullet Club.
For WWE.
Yeah.
All right.
But and Shinsuke challenged AJ for WrestleMania. I'm actually thinking about buying tickets for WrestleMania and just going down to New Orleans.
I would do that with you.
Right?
Can we bring the mics down?
Just live shows?
Live shows?
We could totally do that. But it would cost, I think, like $3,000 to do it. Because I'd have to go to NXT, WrestleMania.
Are you counting in the hotels and everything else or no?
Yeah, I think so.
You think for $3,000 we could pull that off?
For a weekend in New Orleans? I mean,
how much are the tickets?
A couple hundred.
All right, we got to write this down. We got to talk. All right, this is something we have to talk about off the air, but definitely.
Right, in April, just time to go?
New Orleans? Hey.
Hey.
Oh, I can't do that. That's somebody else's radio thing, isn't it? Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, that's Fat Albert. Fuck. Fuck it, Cosby doesn't give a shit anymore.
Oh, what's he going to say? Rapist?
I don't like that you're saying the ha, ha, ha anymore. Fucking call me up, Cosby. Oh,
so, I also want... I meant to do this earlier, and I forgot. I think we should probably, at the beginning of each episode, we should probably give the rundown of the topics, so people have any idea if listening to the last 10 minutes of us bullshitting...
What eventually we're going to get to?
Would be worth fast-forwarding to?
Yeah.
Topic number one.
The death of Backpage.com.
Topic two is going to be Fire and Fury inside the Trump White House, the Michael Wolff book that came out 2 weeks ago now, that I read and is incredible.
Listen to.
We'll talk about it later. Topic number three is maybe the best movie of the year.
Better than Last Jedi?
I didn't.
Oh, it doesn't count for this year, right? That doesn't count. Look at you, crafty bastard.
And that's Den of Thieves with Jerry Butler.
You just call him Jerry? You have no right to call him Jerry.
Gerard? Gerard Butler. So we're going to start topic one now. Are you ready? Do we need a little more time? So topic number one. Take it away, Z.
The death of Backpage.com. Now, I'm a little alarmed that I had to, when we discussed this during the week, I was giving you, like, the prep for my topic and everything like that I had to kind of bring you into this darkness to explain what Backpage is. Like, I had to explain that Backpage.com is technically a Craigslist, but You don't sell your couch on there. You sell your vagina on there.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm on Backpage for.
Okay.
I'm selling my vagina.
Yeah, now the FBI is on here. Oh, you're selling. Okay, good. I don't want people thinking you're weirdo.
No one ever emails you back on Backpage. That's the real problem. That's why it's dying.
Unless they're cops. Backpage.com is created by, you know what the Village Voice is, right? It's the newspaper in the city, the publication that's free, okay? Now, this is the fascinating thing. Backpage was responsible for three quarters, okay, of the online sex trafficking of children in the United States, okay? So any person who goes on these sites thinking, like, oh, you know, I'm just supporting, like, this is, like, even if you're not normal if you're getting a prostitute. There is something wrong with you. There is some void inside you.
Don't never be ashamed of your sexuality.
I'm not saying that. I'm a sexual deviant myself, but I've never paid for sex. Ever once, okay?
Not everyone looks like you.
What? I'm not saying... I wish this was a video cast, this one. But I'm just saying... There is an underlying reason why you were paying for sex. There is, okay? There's no good reason behind it. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you're just lonely.
That's a problem. But then if you're going even darker into this realm to where you were looking for children. Like, I don't care. Of course. You don't accidentally purchase a kid. You don't. I would love to see you argue that in court, but there's not one person who's ever been... I didn't know she was...
I'm just looking for a regular prostitute. I'm not looking for a 16-year-old.
Yeah, even Woody Allen was like, yeah, she's a kid. Yeah. Roman Polanski, yeah, I'm just going to go, because I know she was a kid. Like, so basically, the Senate bill that moved to take Backpage down was that Backpage was being uncooperative with the Senate, Congress, Supreme Court, with...
You have to cooperate with all federal investigations.
They shut it down last year, okay? Now, the thing is... Sex ads make up for 90% of Backpage's revenue, okay? That means if they're obligated to take down all the sex ads, they're just stuck with the three idiots who are selling couches on Backpage waiting for this, you know what I'm saying? Like, that don't realize that Craigslist is the thing you do it on, you know?
Right.
But when I was thinking about it, Craigslist does have sex ads on it.
Oh, sure.
But I think Backpage is taking more of the hit for them because they're the sex one, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, if you told me to go hire a prostitute right now, I wouldn't go to Craigslist. I would go to Backpage.
What is, by the way, what's casual encounters? Because when I was doing research on this, do you expect, like, there's the thing that people meet at a bar and then they don't get each other's name, but they really...
I thought that was... Misconnections. Yeah. That's like, oh, it's what I do in my head all day. It's like, oh, that girl that smiled at me for, like, 3 seconds at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then when you can't get it out of your head, you post online. The idea being that if the other person is also thinking about this misconnection, you might be able to reconnect.
That is fucking insane. You've never done that.
What, misconnection?
Yeah.
No, I just think
oh,
that.
Oh, God, you scared the shit out of me.
No, I'm talking about... That, no, what I think about is every person that I've ever encountered, I think about
that
it
that makes sense, but still, like, why don't you just say hello? Say I am that type of person, and I'm going to go on misconnections. I'm going to assume that person is just as sick as me, that they're going to check Craigslist, and maybe that guy who smiled at me, or like...
That's the hope, right? That's the dream.
This is why people are getting killed.
As a creepy person, I would hope that maybe the other person is as creepy as me, and we can, like, reconnect.
Good luck with that. Okay. Back to Backpage, where the real sickness lies. Backpage is responsible for 3/4 of all the online children sex trafficking in the United States.
Can I ask, do you have on reference where that statistic's from?
That was from CBS News.
Shit, really?
Yeah, I didn't pull that off Backpage. I pulled that off CBS News. But the thing was, the reason there's all these children who are... That thing is that pimps are the ones who are making the money. So pimps put the ads up of these children, okay? So there's like a whole mentality behind it where there's like a certain way of... that once Giuliani cleaned up New York, all the pimping just went... It's still there. Oh, they're there. They just don't wear the hats and the frills. Maybe they do at home. But they're all underground. It's all on the dark web.
But Backpage is not the dark web.
It's right on the cusp of it. It's like the kitchen table of the dark, you know what I'm saying?
It's the marijuana of the dark web.
Yeah.
It's where you get your start.
Yeah, you don't start out on the dark web. You walk into Backpage, you know, you're on Misconnections, you fucking dick. All that shit.
So you figure out how to get a VPN and then you're ready for the
dark. Yeah, that's it. You get a few social security numbers for your relatives who are dead, that's it. The money goes directly to the pimp. Per ad, okay, you can make $1,000 an ad, okay? Because, you want to hear this? They get on one ad, on average, 50 to 100 calls a night on one ad. Now, assuming that girl could do 3 calls a night, you're figuring an average around a grand,
Okay, depending on 500 a guy, 300 a guy, if you're really good looking, 200 a guy, you know, you're never getting it for free as much as you keep going on there and you're thinking you're doing them a favor. No, they don't want to hang out with you. They'd much rather be in college. The way it works is there's certain words now that Backpage said, we're not going to take down our sex ads because then guess what? We're gonna need a bailout. Like, we're going to declare bankruptcy because this is all of us. So we'll just not let them say certain things on our website. And Senate just laughed at them when they did the, what do you call it? It's not a congressional
hearing. A hearing?
A hearing. They just laughed at them because they're not allowed to use the word underage girl.
That seems reasonable.
Little innocent is allowed. Young little. Little, you could just change the variation. You could do young girl, just call it girl young. Like, they just aren't allowed to have the certain, like, wording of, this is an underage child.
This almost reminds me of when you're searching for porn, and it's like, I don't actually want to see teens, but if you want to get anybody under 40 years old, you have to search teen. You know what I mean?
Is that what that is?
Yeah, you go over 25 and it's MILF. Like, you know, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, they definitely all don't have kids. They're not MILFs, yeah, you know? Come on.
Once
you have one faded tattoo, you're automatically a MILF.
Have you ever gotten a girl who, she had been teen for years and then she got a boob job and now she's MILF? And it's hard to find all of her new stuff?
No. Believe it or not...
Is that too much?
Yeah, you just brought up some shit, man. FBI might be calling you for a hearing. But can we also bring up one thing that you and me have talked about one time? It's related to this here. Can we talk about the porn star girlfriend?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about the porn star girlfriend.
Okay, because we're talking about just the dark realm of sex and online sex and porn and online ads here, okay? Me and Rob have had a discussion, okay, with our other friend, we'll call him Triple D for the day, because I didn't get his permission to say his name yet. D has certain girls that he goes to in certain moments. Like, they're his girls, and he won't give the names out of that porn star, because he feels those are his.
Yeah, those are my porn stars.
Yeah.
I have a similar thing, I was totally on his side, I agree with this.
This is insane. Like, I don't have a regular. Like, this is the mentality of some...
Not a regular, you have several regulars. You never know what you're in the mood for.
This is dangerously getting close to going to the dark web. But when I had this discussion with him, I looked at him like I was crazy. And he was like, no, I'm not going to tell you any of the girls I jerk off to. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because they're mine. And I'm like, they're not yours. Like, another million guys. He goes, yeah, but I'm not, like, telling you. Like, so you could... He took it, like, as a personal thing.
Right, that would be like you coming over and me sharing my girlfriend. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, who does that shit?
Unless she's into it.
So I brought this up to you maybe, like, 2 years ago, and then you told me one of the best situations ever here. Am I allowed to talk about this on the
air? No, please.
Okay. So, I was like, yeah, Triple D was upset me that he was talking about all these porn stars, and then when I asked for a reference, I'm like, oh, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? No, these are mine. And he was serious. You went a little further with it that you can't jerk off to a particular porn star anymore because...
Yeah, my porn star girlfriend, I couldn't do it anymore.
Because? Tell them why. Open up. Well,
because she died. I hadn't checked in a few months. And then it was like, okay, it's time to do this. And then I just, Googling around, trying to find like some new stuff from her. And I found her subreddit, which is just like a list of... It's just a message board of, if you don't know what Reddit is, it's a message board.
Okay.
And the top four posts were all RIP, rest in peace.
That'll kill an erection real quick.
Real quick. And so now, every time I go back to one of her old videos...
You know she's dead.
All I can think about is how she's dead.
How'd she die?
Cancer. I know she was a cancer survivor, because...
You're jerking off the cancer survivors.
Well, no, because...
Well, she didn't survive it, but yeah.
Well, no. Apparently, the story was she had cancer, she beat it, and then it came back, and she passed away. Because there was one where they were talking... You know when they do the, like, what do you want to do? What are we doing this session? Parts of porn? You know, when they're, like, just talking to the camera at the beginning?
No.
Well, they were doing that, and she said, oh, you can't pull my hair because I just got off chemo, so, like, don't pull my hair.
If you watch the rest of that video, I'm gonna be so fucking disgusted with you. Topic two. What's topic two about Fire and Fury?
Wait, no, you didn't finish my page.
I don't want to! Fuck!
Was that too much?
Oh, God!
So, now, do you like that? I told you the story, you thought it was a great story, and then I had saved some story.
Oh, like you almost knew this was happening.
Well, no, I thought she beat it. I thought it was over.
You can't pull my hair. I just got done with chemo. God damn it. Now the child sex thing doesn't seem that fucking disgusting. So, the point being with this, that they ended up shutting down Backpage. Backpage is ultimately, they're not allowed to put sex trafficking ads up anymore. I don't know the validity of that, because I think it would be, I don't want to go on Backpage. That's something I don't want to do. I don't want that going onto my phone.
Yeah, they never call you back anyway.
God, Rob, this is a bad day. I don't want to actually investigate that any further, but I'm assuming I'm going to go by the fake news that we read all day that it is shut down. But now everything I'm looking up now is other sites that have just opened up that are, you shut down one, another one's opening up. It's like a gambling website. You close one website down, the bookie's just going
to
open up another
one. I think that's what happened to Silk Road. Shut it down and then four more popped up.
There could be better policing of, like, this all comes down to two things: policing, personal responsibility, and parenting. Three things here. If your child has run away and then you ultimately discover that there is a sex trafficking thing going on, you have to take some responsibility into the fact that your child was mentally ill and left, or there was an ongoing issue at home and they ran away. It's not Backpage's fault that your child ran away. It's not like it's a big voodoo thing where it's like, ooh, come to this place. Like, Backpage isn't a big storage unit in Southern California that's, like, stealing your children, you know?
Right, they don't have just shipping containers full of whatever you're ready for.
All it is is an outlet for it to post sex trafficking ads, and I get that. But people need to take into account that there's a lot more going on than just that. Shut down Backpage is not stopping the whole problem here. The problem here is with policing on the internet. Like, where is the line? Because cops also put ads up on here and get people. There was a big thing here in Nassau County. Several people we know from the town we live in got arrested, and their faces were all over the fucking news because, was it Rice?
Kathleen Rice. Yeah. That unconstitutional person.
She set up a whole sting operation on Backpage, and that was.
And then posted people's faces before they were convicted of
it. Before they were convicted of any crime.
We're getting political on this one, too.
Yeah, but it's just, you're not going to stop this problem by just continually shutting down websites, because I'm telling you, it's just going to keep going on and on and on. There needs to be a much, if you get caught sex trafficking a child, how about this? And you're a pimp, and you're online, and you're, That is a stern conviction. How about that?
A stern conviction.
Let's give them a stern conviction.
Don't pull
my hair. I just got done with chemo.
Is a stern conviction like the one the other day for, what was his name? Larry Nenzer.
What did he do?
He was the Olympic doctor.
He's a piece of shit.
Did you see the judge giving the sentence? I'm proud to give you your death warrant.
Nice.
You're going to die in jail. And then she read the letter. She read his letter from before the trial about how, you know, people were just making it up. Hell have no fury, like a woman scorned.
Yeah.
Like it was the women were coming after him because he turned them down.
Yeah.
And then there's her just throwing his letter away.
Good. Just fuck him.
Yeah. No, fuck that guy.
I have no sympathy for anybody who takes advantage of a child or has any source of income which streams from the revenue of a purchase or sale of a sex act from an illegal child, from an underage child.
I don't have any sympathy from anyone.
I'm not saying you do.
Benefits from
that.
From benefiting from anyone else's sex act. Like, I personally believe prostitution should be legal, but it should be between the client and the person doing the sex act. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, can I bring this to light here then? Who is the third party that makes the money transfer happen? That's the pimp. Because if there are no...
It should be like MasterCard.
No, Rob, you're missing my point here. The reason pimps existed...
Oh, yes.
...are because when they would... There's guys who... Oh, it does happen every once in a blue moon, Rob, that some guys don't want to pay for the...
No, I get that.
Yeah, and then, you know, Big Ricky comes in with the rings on, and you know...
Right.
That wasn't racist. Ricky could have been white, you know.
I was picturing the guy from Trailer Park Boys too.
That's exactly okay. Good.
Remember when they were running the brothel out of the trailer?
I love that. Yes.
That's a good season.
All right, just because Rob embarrassed me last week, just to end the whole Backpage discussion here, we're gonna play a quick game here. Okay. I looked up, and then I erased my phone right after because I didn't want the history of this. I looked up, Westward's official Backpagelingoglossary.com. It's the glossary of all the sex acts you could type in on a sex ad, and I'm going to see if Rob can get any of them.
I just want to make sure that I understand. Now, this is the sex Backpage equivalent to, like, if you're on the classifieds on Craigslist, and you say, you know, I'm looking for someone to ski with, and it means we're going to go do coke together.
And fuck, yes.
Okay.
A lot of them are three letters, and you just have to, you want me to give you a couple examples first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, don't tell me the answer. Fuck it, let's start.
Oh, you're that confident.
Well, is there one that you think is
an easy one, soft one? Okay. I'm going to give you a big hint here. It's not Emil Hirsch. Okay. Ready? ATM.
Money?
No.
At the moment?
Ass to mouth.
Okay. Right, okay. I got to get myself in the right head, okay. The right mindset.
Okay, ready? BBFS.
Big, beautiful, fat cock.
Bareback sex.
Fuck.
This is a very common...
Wait, what? Oh, bareback fuck.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes the F is silent. Ready for this one? This is the most This is a very, very... Like, BBW.
I'm a big, beautiful woman.
Yeah. Okay, good. BCD.
BCD.
This is a weird one. I don't even know how this would... What's the other option? Can I just talk about this one?
Yeah.
BCD is behind closed doors. So what, every other sex act is, like, out in the open?
Well, yeah, maybe that's... You're trying to keep that one on the down low.
Okay, this one, you're no way you're going to get this. Ready? Here we go. BBBBJTCWSBLS. Ready? Ball licking and sucking the blue pill. Viagra, butterface. I don't know what that means in lingo.
That means I'll lick your balls, have some Viagra because I got a butterface.
Yes.
Right?
Everything looks good at the end of that, they said. All right, ready? This is the best thing, and we're going to end it here. Ready? R-O-B.
Rob?
Rob is the thing. It's an R-O-B.
Rope over boot.
Don't take the money and run. Someone who takes the money and runs after sex. All right, that is the end of the topic there. Oh, we could do this for days, though.
Right? We could just...
CH? Crazy Horse?
What does that even mean? Like, the band?
Or the Native American? I don't know. There's CTM, Certified Massage Therapist, just in case you want a certified massage therapist. C.A. Doggy, man behind a girl, girl's hands on knees. D.D.J.
Why do you need it? That's just doggy, isn't it? Why do you need, like, a special code for that?
To shorten a lot of things, they're adding a lot of unnecessary letters, you know? I-M-H-O, in my humble opinion.
I-M-O?
In my humble
opinion. Well, that's just internet lingo.
That's what I'm saying, but some of them are. Like, but then other ones, I guess you could type that in next. In my humble opinion, I would like you to be BBW, you know? Like... O-W-O, oral without condom. Ew, who the fuck does that?
You use a condom every time you get oral?
No, but if I was getting... Oh, you God, these hookers are nuts. P.S. It's a private shower.
Ooh.
See, Harvey Weinstein could have just went on Backpage.
He didn't want to pay for it. It was about the power.
Massage parlor, Rob. When you rip off a massage parlor.
When you rip off a massage parlor?
Yeah.
It was when you don't pay, and then Big Ricky comes out.
Yeah, I love that you have nice link acronym. Yeah, is it an acronym?
Yeah, like ACM.
Yeah, ACM. All right, on to the second topic, which is actually probably the intelligent one here. We're gonna take a shower here. This is gross. We're gonna wash off all this disgustingness.
I think this is a little bit more slimy. If it's
oh fuck,
possible.
We're talking about Trump, aren't we? God damn it, never mind.
So topic two is fire and fury inside the Trump White House from Michael Wolff. He was allowed into the White House and basically sat on a couch. In the West Wing. He took about 200 interviews over the course of, I think it was from August till July. He said it was originally supposed to be about the first 100 days of the presidency, which is actually a pretty common thing. The first 100 days is like setting the tone of a presidency, is if they're going to get anything done or what they're going to get done. And then things spiraled so far out of control that he just stayed for another 100 days, because just he never found a good point to stop.
He's like the violinist on the Titanic. This is going down. I'm just playing till it goes.
Right. And then finally, they brought in the new chief of staff. And one of the reasons that he was allowed to stay for so long was because no one had the authority to make him leave. Like, it wasn't anyone's job to tell him to leave. So
to get the
stayed.
Fuck out.
Right. And then when they brought in the new chief of staff, he was trying to get some kind of control over the administration. And he finally made him leave.
Okay.
The book's great. I'd highly recommend it if you have any... It's not even that political. Like, it's obviously dealing in politics, but it's not, like, talking about ideology or a little bit ideology. But it's not talking about...
It's not an extensive political science source where, like, you have to know a lot of terminology and stuff.
No,
like
not at all. It's much more of a look at Trump and the people around him and just, like, the different forces at work within the administration. And, like, half of it is talking about Steve Bannon's personal political philosophy. And it very much comes across as... It seems like Bannon was one of the guys who must have talked to this guy all the time. Because it actually comes off really positive towards Steve Bannon. I almost admire the guy. I almost admire the guy after reading the book. And maybe it's just because he's the only one in the administration who actually believes anything. You know, and like, even if it's stuff that I disagree with, like, he at least has a vision. You know? And like, a huge part of of everybody else is they're just kind of scrambling and getting it together. Trump doesn't actually believe in anything. And
believes in himself?
Yeah, he believes in himself, but I mean in a larger political way, you know.
Yeah.
Any given day he might change what he actually thinks, what he feels about anything.
That's a human being, though.
Is it, though? Do your political beliefs change minute to minute? Like, for an example, they talk a lot about repeal and replace. There's a full chapter on repeal and replace. And it was, you know, they were trying to just figure out something to do within the first 100 days, something to set the tone, like, get something done. And it was basically Paul Ryan talked Trump into, we can do healthcare. And there was a great quote from Roger Ailes, who is the founder of Fox News and a personal friend of Trump. That said, there's not a person in the United States or probably the world who has ever thought about healthcare less than Donald. Like, he's
because it's never mattered to him. That's why
he has money if he needs to see a doctor, and he doesn't really go to the doctor anyway. So who cares?
He's fit.
He's the most fit president according to his doctors.
Oh, his doctors say that.
You didn't
no.
see that note?
Please, God,
he's
that
the
exists.
Most. Yeah, there's that, and then there's. There's a thing called the Girthers that, you know, is on a play on the Birthers.
Yeah.
Where they want Trump's real BMI because he's 6'3". And
he's 6'3", really?
Yeah.
That's
and then and he's 139 pounds, according to his
Shut
medical
up.
Records.
No, he's not.
But that's right at the limit at BMI for being overweight. Any higher, and it would be obese. So that theory is that he... makes his doctors say it's 139 so that he doesn't have to be obese.
I'm 160 right now, and I'm trying real hard to gain that weight.
I mean, I'm 300 pounds.
You're 300 pounds?
Do you think if I lost if I lost 60 pounds, I would look as good as Donald Trump?
That's insane. Dude. He claims he weighs 139 pounds?
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Welcome to the Trump White House. It's all bullshit.
Have you ever heard the aristocrats joke?
Yes.
Okay. That's the way I look at this administration. Okay, him, Ivanka, fucking Kushner, they all walk into a room, and they're standing there, and one starts fucking the other, and then Comrade comes in and starts blowing the dog. And then at the end of it, this is the Trump administration. Like, it's really fucking insane. But I love the insanity. It's great for comedy, because having a president like Obama for the past 8 years, like, nobody made fun of him. And he did funny stuff, but it wasn't, like, this kind of funny.
Right, it was, like, you could kind of poke fun at some stuff, or, like, he would poke fun at himself about something.
So poking fun and being a fucking complete walking clown shoe joke is two different things entirely.
Well, I think that's the worst thing that Trump's done for comedy, is that nothing you could tell me is going to be funnier than... this guy lies about his weight because he's worried about his BMI being obese. Like, who fucking cares?
139.
139.
That's fucking unreal that he thinks that he's 130.
Oh, he doesn't think that. No, it just doesn't matter.
I might not be able to move past this. He's gone.
So, like, one of the ideas in the book is about why Trump got so fixated on fake news.
Yeah.
Because he was telling everybody in the White House, oh, yeah, it's fake news, it's fake news. They make stuff up all the time.
Yeah.
I used to always make stuff up, and then I call them, and they always print it. So, yeah, it's all fake news. Like, in his mind, he thinks the papers just make things up.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's also sitting at home, And they were talking about how, you know, he's rallied against the media and hates the media and all this stuff. But he's still, there's this one reporter from the Times that he always calls. And he's given her like three interviews, and they always write bad stuff about it, and he gets really upset. And then, like, he tries again because he's a Queens boy, and he has this mental thing that he just needs the Times approval. So he just keeps trying, even though they hate him.
Yeah.
And like
the New York Times is like the prom queen. You're always trying to go back and fuck the prom queen.
Exactly.
Even if she has herpes, and you know, it's just the way it is.
Or give her herpes.
Yeah, really fuck that shit up.
But it goes into Trump's like mentality of what, like, all he really wants is to be loved, and like he doesn't understand why people don't like him. He can't understand it.
Yeah.
And maybe he can't read, or just doesn't want to read. there's a list of like what people have called him, and it's like Prius calling him a dope, and it's like dope, idiot, fucking idiot. There's a Rupert Wolf claims a Rupert Murdoch getting off the phone with Trump. Just his only response was fucking idiot.
The one thing you talked about in the book that I really really liked was when he's given the inauguration speech and then Bush. George W. Bush, wait, what did Bush say exactly, guys?
Trump gives his inaugural speech. It's the Carnage in America speech, where he's talking about...
That's a great title, though.
Steve Bannon wrote it, and it's talking, and it goes, like, in the book, they talk about how it's always supposed to be it's always an inspiring day at inauguration, even if it's a guy you didn't vote for, everyone can feel good about this new beginning, and we're going to try something new.
Technically, you're supposed to put all your differences aside at that thing and unify as a country.
Right.
That's the underlying thing.
And Trump comes out and talks about how people are dying in the streets, and there's carnage in the streets of America.
Yeah.
And it's because of opioids, and it's because of immigrants, and it's...
The Clintons, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he finally sits down after his speech, and reportedly... keeps saying to himself, people are gonna remember the speech. They can't forget this speech. They're gonna remember this speech forever.
So he's juicing himself up
all the time.
He does that. They say that in the book.
He constantly repeats himself, and he constantly he's always talking himself up.
Really?
And George W. Bush's response, or not response, but reaction to the speech is just, that was some weird shit.
That's George W. First of all, can I just say, look, people hate him. George W. Bush is who he is. Like, I see him in interviews now. I genuinely like that man. I do. He's very funny. Him and Clinton go on these tours together where they do, like, the ex-presidents. I'm calling it this, but they do these speeches at colleges and stuff like that where they have graduate students ask some questions. And they're actually very good friends. They get along.
Bubba calls Barbara Bush.
Yes.
He calls her mom.
Yes.
Like, their families are that close.
Yes. There is a line between being like... Are you a good president? Absolutely not. But would you not want to have drinks with George W. Bush?
Absolutely. I would love to hang out with him for a little bit. Because he seems funny and...
That's somebody you could have a great conversation with.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing, I'm not comparing Bush to Obama because there's no reason to. But, like, I wasn't a big fan of Obama policy in certain areas. But do I think he was the coolest president ever? Like, generally, a down-to-earth human being? Absolutely. Like, right. I don't dislike Barack Obama. I dislike Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
I dislike the George W. Bush government.
Politics, yes.
But, like, him as a person, he always seemed fine.
Yes. It's just something, your views, and sometimes the situation you're dealt, the situation you're in, how you act in the moment. Like, for example, the Patriots are playing on Sunday in the Super Bowl versus Philadelphia Eagles. Okay? Me as a New Yorker, I hate the New England Patriots.
Right.
But I love Tom Brady. I love Gronkowski. I just like the way they are. Yeah, I just love them. I do. I can't say I don't. When's Brady going to run for president?
Right?
I would love Belichick to be the fucking commander in chief.
Right? He'd be his chief of staff, just running shit in the background, cheating all the time.
Yeah, you put Bannon and Belichick in a room together, there might be a new country coming out. They might secede together.
Yeah, so that was the other big thing. And the book basically ends with Bannon talking about how he's going to run for president.
You think he's going to do that? He can't win. It's not possible.
Right? I think he thinks he'll run. Kind of bought into his own, like, I'm the political guru. I got Trump elected. Which may or may not be true. He definitely played a big part in it.
Absolutely. We had this discussion privately, too. Did Bannon make Trump, or Trump made Breitbart and Bannon?
Right. It's like, I mean, I've never heard of Brett Bart before this election.
Yeah, I haven't either. But that doesn't mean it wasn't there. We just
it was there.
You and me aren't reading conservative news that often.
Right, maybe it was a much bigger thing in other parts of the country. I know what the fuck it is now.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Would you say this is the best book you've read over the past year? Best book of the year?
Well,
I'm not talking about old books either. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You give it at least a 4 out of 5?
I give it a big recommend.
Fucking cocksucker.
But, if you have any interest in current events or... Because it's just... It's a fascinating look at Trump and, like, what he's like and what he's like to be around.
I look at it as our generation's primary colors. Because when Primary Colors came out, that was a huge book. Because that was almost identical to the same thing. But that book came out... Primary Colors was during the Clinton campaign, and this person, people were always wondering who wrote the book because it was authored by Anonymous, but it was one of the people who were involved in press going through the whole campaign, and it was a very similar style written book and everything, but I look at it as our generation's Primary Colors.
I would agree, and like people have made that
comparison.
That comparison, because just like Primary Colors, like there's a lot in it that
is unflattering.
Well, no, it's the whole thing's unflattering. And it's unflattering that just about every single person that they mention.
Oh, don't they talk about some people in there, that there are some people who are staying involved with this administration, not because they genuinely feel passionate about Trump and his views, but they feel if they leave, they don't want to see the person that replaces them in this storm. Like, they feel obligated to stay because they feel like they're saving, like, you know what I'm saying? Or does everybody look bad?
Everyone looks bad.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the best one is, like, Spicer looks okay in the book.
Shut up!
He's a lifelong political operative. He's been, like, very buttoned down, very, like, a very good choice for what he got picked to do. But he got saddled with fucking Trump. And, like...
That's a big dish to, you know...
Right. And, like, they talk about him calling people, talking about whether he should take the job or not. And, like, can I come back from this?
Is that a negotiating pay job? Or that's a set salary? That I would love to know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because I'm not taking that for the same one who had Obama. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you got to deal with Obama's shit and Trump's shit. That's a different pay grade.
Right. And but then they talked about how day one, you know, Trump lies about how big the crowd is at his inauguration, and Spicer tries to sell it to the media. He's like, no, yeah, it's a million people, and the whole media shits on him. He becomes a running joke on SNL and all this stuff. And Trump never forgives him. For not being able to, like...
Get him out of that one?
No, to convince everybody that there were a million people. Yeah. And so then, from then on, Spicer's just, like, on a couch in meetings, and Trump just shits on him all the time. Like, he's just there for Trump to...
He's a bully!
Oh, Trump's a huge bully! All he does is bully people, and, like, he'll call people at night and just be like, should I fire this one guy? Should I fire Bannon? Should I fire Priebus? Should I get rid of Spicer? Should I get rid of Conway? Who should I fire? And, like, that's what he does every single night.
Did they go into his wife at all? Like, her involvement?
Oh, I meant to bring this up. So, apparently, before election, she's in tears asking Donald not to run. And he's giving her, no, don't worry, this is going to be over by November. Don't worry
he
about
really
it.
He really thought he wasn't going
to
win.
According to the book, none of them thought they were going to win.
Okay.
Like, they didn't even set up a transition team until after Election Day.
Really?
Where, like, the Clinton campaign had it all set
by,
like, July. Mm-hmm. Like, how they were going to do it. So, and, like, they had to scramble after they won the election. Because none of them thought they were going to win. And so that's why they brought in, like, Christie to run the...
Oh, God.
Run the transition team. And, like, him trying to get another position in... The administration and everyone in the like Trump just being like, well, maybe Christie, and everyone just being no, and he really wanted to put Giuliani on the Supreme Court, and everyone was just like, no, you can't do that, you can't. and then he picked somebody else, and then like that got shot down, and then he just goes back to Giuliani. He's like, well, what about Rudy? Rudy, we can do Rudy, and everyone's just like, no, you can't.
Yeah,
you can't pick him.
You can't do it.
So Melania, apparently, like, on election day, they win, and she just starts crying, and, like, they're the first couple to not share rooms since the Kennedys.
Because Kennedy was fucking.
Presumably. They present their marriage as a mystery to the people in the circle. Like, Trump, he talks very positively about her when she's not there. And, like, actively tells people how she's a trophy wife. Mm-hmm. And, like, brags about her. But there's no closeness between them. And,
yeah, I believe that.
And people in the administration actually, they consider Ivanka the wife, because she serves the purpose of the role of first lady in the administration. Like, she's a confidant that he talks to all the time, and, like...
He does love his fucking daughter. Yeah, loves his daughter.
And then he has a staffer, Hope Hicks, that they consider his daughter, because he's protective of her, and if you go to Trump or something, he always goes, talk to Hope. Have you talked to Hope about this?
Really?
And, like, she's the one that you need to talk to Trump. Wow. Except that everybody has equal access to Trump. Like, and that's one of the big stories of the book about... Like, the fight for control between Bannon and Ivanka and Jared and previous...
Do you think he likes Jared Kushner? Or he's just dealing with the...
I don't think he likes anybody. Because, like, he'll listen to him, but then Jared will do something wrong and he shits on Jared.
Oh,
like,
he does shit on Jared.
All the time.
Really?
Like, Jared is always trying to get his father-in-law to, like, approve him. But then, like, oh, Jared did that. He's an idiot. But then he turns around and he handed him the portfolio for the Middle East. Hey, solve the Middle East. And Jared thought he was going to do it.
Shut up!
They set up a deal with Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and they were like, all right, Iran's the bad guys, and these are the Israel, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia can make every other country in the Middle East, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So we get Israel, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia to keep everyone in control, and then we have peace in the Middle East, no problem.
Done. You can't see how easy that is?
You can't see how easy, right? And then they went over there to, like, talk about it.
And then they realized Kushner is, in fact, a Jewish man talking to a bunch of Muslim guys.
The foreign leader that Trump got along the best with was the king of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I wonder why.
Right? Because they had Have you seen the pictures of that? Like,
huge party.
No, I'm
going to look it up, though.
They gave him, like, gold golf carts, and they had everybody in the Middle East, like, come say hello to him. One of the best quotes was, it's not even the president of Egypt, the dictator of Egypt now, comes up to Trump and says, you know, you're a unique personality, that someone has the strength to lead, and you're great, is basically what he says. And Trump turns around and goes, I love your shoes. Where'd you get those shoes? Those shoes are outstanding. Those are amazing shoes.
They said he's very complimentary. Like, people like him after first meeting him.
Yes. I forget who it is, but someone was meeting him to get, like, a cabinet job, and they were being warned about, you will think he's your best friend.
And then he doesn't remember who you are the next day.
Yeah, but he has this power when he feels like it, or when he wants something from you, to be, like, the most charming person you've ever met.
Have you ever met anybody like that?
No.
Yes, you have.
They talked me into a fucking podcast.
And then forgets to come on Wednesdays sometimes.
Well, and then... But they get into another part of his personality. It's this really weird thing of, he respects, like, he expects everyone to grovel to him.
Yes.
That you should bend to his will.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, if you do it too much, he won't respect you and he thinks you're a loser.
100%.
Because you just take his bullying.
Yep.
But if you stand up to him, he'll fire you. So,
the similarities between him and Vince McMahon?
Oh, I think that's why they're friends.
Yes, 100%.
There's a reason that Vince's wife is on...
She's the head of the small business committee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in the cabinet, and he's in the Hall of Fame. The greatest.
He's not in the WWE, is he?
Yeah. Him and Vince had a hair versus hair match.
I know that, but the fact that Randy Savage only went in last year. Macho Man Randy Savage went into the Wrestling Hall of Fame last year, and then Donald Trump's already been in it?
Yeah.
That's fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Well, to go back, the best part about the Rumble is, maybe not everyone knows this, you can bet on the Rumble.
Okay.
Rhino, the wrestler, had the same odds for bookmakers to win the Royal Rumble that Donald Trump had. All right, and now for the darkest part of the conversation, we're doing topic number 3.
Could it get any darker?
Den of Thieves.
In a world so dark, there's a den of thieves. How do you want to describe this film? A blockbuster action smashing...
genre-breaking...
Definitely breaking.
But it's directed by Christian Gudegast. You think I'm saying that right? I have no idea. Gudegast.
I don't like that his first name is the same as mine. This attaching myself.
Christian G. Yeah, it was starring Gerard Butler. Who else is in this movie? I don't even know.
The guy from season 2 of The Wire. That's all I know. 50 Cent is in it.
50 Cent
isn't in it as much as I would like. Is that weird that I'm saying that?
Right. I was expecting 50 to play a big role in it, and he has, what, like, two real scenes?
Two real scenes, 8 real lines.
playing Meriwether is the guy who plays Mad Sweeney in American Gods. Have you watched American Gods?
No, I haven't watched American Gods. That's the guy who we're talking about who's on season 2 of The Wire. The guy who plays Merriman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know how he is in The Wire. He's amazing in American Gods. If I had known that before going in, I'd be more let down by his performance because he's so good in American Gods.
Well, I'm going to say The Wire is the best TV show ever made. I'm going to say that right now. But
really going out on a limb there.
Yeah, but season 2 is the worst season out of the best show ever.
Which season is that? Is that the political season? Or is that
the school season? It's the season on the docks where they show you the heroin connect. Okay. But he was kind of unnecessary on the show. That's so uncomplimentary. But he comes back in the last episode, but they don't, like, really announce that he's there. He's just on the docks, and, like, you just see him there. And he goes, "You're not going to shut down the port of Baltimore. And then they arrest him. And you're like, okay, that was a major character in the second season. He's just, like, an extra now? All right, whatever.
He's just gone now. Okay. Yeah. Give me the plot synopsis of Den of Thieves.
We'll...
Off your head. What happened in that movie?
A heist is set up that you don't know the source of. That's like the big twist. Spoiler alert. You don't know the source of the heist. And then from the way on the trailer made it seem that the cops are bad too. Oh God, this is such a piece of shit. They're trying to rip off the Federal Reserve in LA. What else? There's no really other plot to it other than that.
What's the main character's name in this movie? Is it Tony?
Nick.
No, Nick is Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
No, but what's the main driver, like the main character?
Ice Cube's son?
Yes,
I only saw Ice Cube's son.
Alright, so Ice Cube's son, the way the movie sets it up, he's kind of been brought into this group of bank robbers, but...
It's called a crew on the streets.
The crew.
Sorry, called a crew on the streets.
Yeah, of Meriwether and Ice Cube.
Merriman.
Ice Cube.
Meriwether!
What the fuck's his name?
Merriman.
Alright, so, yeah, Ice Cube's son is brought into the... Meriwether's...
Merry Men's crew.
Merry Men and 50 Cent's crew.
50 Cent doesn't even have a real name. We have no real names for these guys. This
right, I think 50 Cent's name was Scott or something like that.
Oh, because that sounds realistic.
And Gerard Butler and his crew, because we're a gang too, but we got badges.
We're not going to take you in. We're just going to shoot you. And they do nothing illegal.
Right, there's one scene that sets up that... Like, the opening scene with the cops, they talk about how Gerard Butler is looking a little rough around the edges, and he should be careful because they have drug tests coming up on Wednesday.
But you never see him do any drugs in the movie.
Right, and then later on, they're doing, like, an illegal interrogation of Ice Cube's son, and they're drinking, and there's presumably prostitutes there. They're all dressed. It's supposed to come off as, like, a crazy hotel party, but it's really just, like, four guys sitting in a room with three women. Like, it's odd.
It's odd. I'm saying they were definitely BBW on Backpage.
Oh, yeah. They were. Maybe that... You think that's what that setup is? Maybe they're... Because they're... I think they're major crimes.
They're major crimes. Yeah, they're major crimes.
In... Of LA. So maybe they're going after Backpage there. Maybe those women... They thought kids were going to show up. And it was just women. So they're like, oh, just hang out. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, it's Ice Cube's son. Let's just fucking beat him up and ask him for information.
I peed himself. Isn't that funny?
Oh, God.
But, I mean... Where do you even start with this movie? I think Gerard Butler in it is good.
But this is weird. Gerard Butler is shit in every film I see him in, including 300, but I love the shit. I love the shit.
Right, I mean, if...
Can I read off some of the lines he says in this movie?
Oh, please.
Okay, here we go. Number one, when he's looking at Ice Cube's son for the first time at the bar, when he's, like, trying to get him as his CI, when he looks at him, he says, "Do you get a lot of pussy at this job?" And he says, "I do all right." Gerard Butler nods at him, takes a sip of the drink and says, "Yeah, I'd fuck you." With his weird... We talked about this too. He eats a lot of food in this movie.
Oh, yeah, we have to get around to this. In every single... The first scene you see him in, he picks up a donut off the ground and eats it.
And then throws it again on the crime scene.
Yes, and he gets chastised by the FBI. And this is all setting up how, you know, he's the bad cop.
Yeah.
And then in the next scene, he's always drinking something or he's eating. He eats something in the first five scenes he's in.
Yes. 100%. I think until the end when he's shooting up heavy,
if he's not shooting a gun, he's eating or drinking something.
I'll be honest, maybe a piece of jerky in his mouth during that that shootout scene would have made it a little better. But he seems like a guy who could be a jerky. You know, like, he bites a piece of the jerky.
And he's just chewing up.
Fuck you.
Well, like, I'm surprised. I mean, he chews on some cigarettes in this movie, too.
Chews is an understatement.
is just, I've needed a cigarette before, and I've never needed one as bad as he needs one in every scene.
He lights one up in every scene. The first thing I have written down about the movie that was hilarious is, Gerard Butler is supposed to be a cop who was cheating on his wife constantly. And
this is the best subplot, I think, in the whole movie.
Yes. There's a 15-minute, it's at least 15 minutes, they could have shortened this to 3, where Gerard Butler gets caught cheating on his wife. But can we explain how he got caught? He comes home at 6 a.m.
Yeah, you see him come home, I think it's right after the scene in the hotel.
Yes. And it's very obvious that you never see Gerard Butler have a sex scene. I'm sorry, ladies, you do not. I was telling my friend's girlfriend that. She's like, I really like, Gerard Butler's in it. I'm like, you don't see his dick or his ass.
I think he takes his shirt off in one scene. He has a weird steroid belly in it, where he's just like, everything's sticking out, but like, he's not really fit.
Yes. So, he comes home, he puts his cell phone conveniently on the island of the kitchen, goes to drink milk right out of the carton.
Right out of the carton. Because he's a bad person.
Yes.
That's the whole point, is that Big Nick is a bad guy.
And his wife comes down the stairs, and the first thing, just to show you how his guilty conscience was just creeping up on him, she says hello, and he turns and goes, babe, don't do that, you scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, he jumps out of his skin.
Yes.
And then she tells him that he smells like a hooker. Yeah. Or, no, it's stripper. Sorry. Yes. He smells like
a
stripper.
And he says, no, babe, are you going to do this? And then, Rob, do you remember the text?
I do remember the text.
He texted her by accident that night. It's not like she grabs his phone, like we've all been in this situation before, and said, who is this bitch you're texting? No.
She picks up her own phone.
Her own phone from that night when your husband comes home at 6 a.m. And, Rob, can you just say in your best, cleanest voice what the text said?
It's, you a bad bitch. So hot.
You a bad bitch. So hot.
And she, you know, she knows that he texted the wrong person. Do you remember what his defense is?
No.
Babe, it's just street theater.
It's just street? I don't remember that.
It is street theater. Because, you know, he's just trying to blend in with all of the criminals that he's taking down.
Honey, I have to fuck these women. It's street theater. I'm in a crew, babe.
Now, I think this is actually the best scene. It's the second best scene in the movie. As She goes upstairs, and it kind of seems like the fight's over, and then she comes back downstairs with the kids.
Oh, no, I'm waking these kids up. We're leaving.
Yeah, we're leaving right
now.
I'll
show you who's a bad bitch.
I think she tells the kids that daddy has to do some construction on the house, and...
You know how many kids have been told that?
And then, yeah, and then they have, like, a 10-minute passive-aggressive fight. Like, we're doing the... We're not going to scream at each other because we're in front of the kids.
We're just going to shove each other.
Yeah, they're bumping shoulders and be like, don't do this, don't do this.
You're going to take my fucking kids.
Yeah, and get out of my way. Get out of my way, Nick. And up until the point where he won't let her leave and she starts slapping the shit out of him in the driveway.
In front of the neighbor.
And in front of the kids that you've spent this 10 minutes trying to not fight in front of. And come on, babe, don't do this. Don't do this. That's what he keeps saying. And
stop eating, you piece of shit, and just tell me you're sorry. There's no food in that scene. I wish there
was. No, he drinks out of the carton!
I wish he had, like, a power bar and he was chewing them. Don't go.
Is he smoking a cigarette as soon as they go outside?
I think he lit it up right after he put the milk down, without the cap on.
And later on, he's hanging out with his crew, and a guy shows up and hands him papers. Or he says, are you Big Nick, whatever his last name is. And he goes, yeah. And the guy goes, I suggest you take these. And Gerard Butler's response is, I guess I'm getting a divorce. And do you remember what his crew says to him? It says,
Welcome to the club, though.
Welcome to the club. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
What is this?
If I said that to you, would you be upset?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Like, man, no, I'm getting a fucking divorce.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously Big Nick doesn't care that much about his family, but it means something to him. I guess.
Every guy...
There's no resolution to this storyline.
Let me say this. Coming from a guy who knows people who have cheated on women, I would never do that. But when you get caught, okay, it's not that you feel bad about what you did. If you're a true sociopath, you don't feel bad about what you did.
Of course
not. You are so angry that your bullshit got caught. Like, it's an insult to your ego. Like, I should be able to keep this going.
Have you ever texted the wrong girl?
Like that?
Bad bitch.
No. And I'm pretty good at it. Like I'm saying, like, I've done some fucked up shit. But, like, I've never once texted my girlfriend anything like that, meaning to another person. Like, I've left my phone out. Like, that's why my phone's smashed now. But, like, I'm saying, like, I left my phone out and they've seen me text other girls. But I've never texted my significant other thinking she's another person. That's just a bad written plot. If anybody who's done that in the audience, you really need to evaluate if you should be cheating. It's not that you're not comfortable in your relationship. It's that you're not good at it. Okay? That's what I'm saying. You need to be a better cheater, men.
So then later on, he goes to, you said it was his brother-in-law's house. I missed that part of the movie. But she's sitting there eating dinner.
That's the best scene of the whole movie.
This is the best scene. Gerard Butler walks into, it looks like some Hollywood home because it's all glass.
They all have big houses in it. Like, how much are they paying major crimes lead investigator? Like, he had a beautiful fucking house.
He did have a beautiful home. Yes. And then his brother-in-law has an even more beautiful home. Yeah. The brother-in-law says, oh, hey, Nick, I was going to call you. I was going to have dinner with you next week.
No, that's you're underselling it there. Right when Gerard Butler walks into his brother-in-law's house where his wife is staying with the divorce papers to hand to his wife, he walks in with his own glass of liquor. That's the first thing I noticed. He had his own glass of liquor in his hand. He's been driving with his own glass, just like Trailer Park Boys, which is a fucking satire, you know, of like... He walks in, and he immediately has just, like, bad news written all over his face, and this family's sitting around...
He's wobbling drunk.
Wobbling drunk, okay? Eats again. He sits down...
So, his wife is sitting next to another man...
That you're assuming she's dating now.
Right. The timeline on the movie is kind of weird.
It's fucked.
It seems like it's 2 days later, but she's already eating dinner with another guy at her...
It has to be months. I'm assuming months, but the timeline is so fucked in this movie, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. So Gerard Butler picks up the guy's steak off his plate and just takes a bite out of
it. Which is an amazing thing to do. That is great.
And then puts it back on the plate, sits down, asks for a pen, because he's going to sign the divorce papers right here.
Just to make a statement. Right. Like
and,
a boss.
Everyone's saying, Nick, don't do this.
And then the brother-in-law says, Nick, I was gonna call you. We were going to do dinner next week. And Gerard Butler, I've said this through the movie, is bad at doing lines that people write for him, but his subtle little things back to them, his off-the-cuff shit, is fucking amazing. Because he just nods at him, and he looks at me and goes, Yeah, I'm sure. It's just amazing. That guy's terrible.
And then he grabs a glass of wine and drinks it.
Yes.
How's the wine? Drinks it. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Then
forces his ex-wife's now boyfriend to hug him.
Well, this is after he threatens him.
Let me just say, if you talk to my kids, look at them or even speak to them, he goes, bang, bang.
Bang, bang. He gives him a full-on finger
gun. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. It's pretty outstanding.
The movie, if anybody watches this movie and likes it, you really need to just look at your own self and just realize what kind of art you identify with, because you really have a problem. But this movie is good if you want to watch, if you're sitting home on a Sunday afternoon around 2:30, anytime after 3 is just ridiculous, find something else to do. But if you're just sitting there on the couch, dead, watch a fucking awful heist movie, yeah. This movie takes a lot of elements from The Town and shits all over them and ruins them. Takes a lot of stuff from Heat and ruins all of it.
Right.
And it's just...
It's uninteresting, Heat and The Town.
Yes.
And if the movie was a little bit shorter, I might say it's worth it for Gerard Butler's performance.
But it's long.
But it's 2.5 hours of nonsense.
Nonsense. Every one of those scenes could be shortened down to at least 3 minutes and then you cut the movie down.
Right. And yeah, there's only 2 heist scenes.
Yes.
I think, right?
Yes.
There's the opening
That's
scene.
The point.
Which it's, is pretty... The opening scene, I was like, oh, maybe this movie's really going to do something.
There's not enough heist and shootout in this movie for it to be a shoot-em-up movie. But there's not enough compelling story and plot for it to be a drama. So it's somewhere in between just two awful categories that it's not hitting the mark on.
Right? Because the guys in the heist crew... are barely characters.
Barely. Like, 50 Cent does, I'm not exaggerating, maybe has 8 lines in it.
Yeah. He has a couple of meaningful looks. Even Merriman, who they set up as, like, the big bad guy of the movie, is barely a character.
And isn't that bad?
Right, and they have this sort of interesting setup to it, where it's, like, him and 50 Cent and Ice Cube's son are all ex-Marines. And like,
but the other thing I'm going to say, one thing here. Merriman and 50 Cent are best friends. If you notice in the beginning of the movie, the first thing that pissed me off big time with his character is he has Peckerwood tattooed, I'm not going to show you.
Yeah, across his gut.
No, almost above his dashboard of his dick. Okay, Peckerwood. That is a racist, white Aryan prison gang thing.
Well, yeah, it's also set up that Merriweather recently got out of jail.
Yeah, he's but guess what? Your best friend is not a brother then. Like, those two aren't going to jail together, pounds, like, hey, what's up? No, you're a fucking Peckerwood. Like, don't put that tattoo on him. It's stupid.
Well, isn't it just to be that he's, like, he's a criminal? Like, the Pecker...
To get the Peckerwood tattoo, you have to do some bad shit in jail.
That was my understanding. It was like, even if he's not racist, because, you know, his best friend is 50 Cent, he never really gives off a real racist vibe.
So don't put that tattoo on him. To get that tattoo in jail, you have to do some fucking heinous shit to another
race. Right, yeah, he's... You would presume Aryan Brotherhood.
Yes.
At some point.
As a whole, that movie, if you want, I'm doing it out of 10, is a 3.5.
I would watch it again, I think, if...
I wouldn't. If, I'm not going to watch it again. Can we talk about Michael Bisping one more time before we end this thing?
Yeah, I want to do a little... I want to do a spoiler thing at the end, and that's going to be part of it.
Okay.
I might watch it again if I have a real banger of a night, and I wake up on a Saturday... It's on Netflix or HBO.
I would never click to put it on, but if it's on HBO, yeah, I'm going to
right?
look it up.
I would put it on to kind of, like, half nap through.
Yeah.
And wake up and look at it again. And, like, kind of laugh at Gerard Butler being an actor. have you ever seen anything you like him in? 300?
P.S. I Love You, where he wrote notes to the ugliest actress in the world after he died.
Who's the ugliest actress in the world?
Karate Kid 4.
Hilary Swank?
Hilary Swank. I love that you know her from
Karate Kid. Wait, is that 4? I thought 4
no,
was Jaden Smith.
No, that's...
You know they're going to make a sequel to that one?
Shut up.
That's a fucking future episode.
Oh my god.
So, now I'm just... There's no reason to be worried about spoilers, but I just need to talk about the very end of this movie. If you have any intention of really watching it, I guess fast forward a couple minutes, or just you could just end the podcast now. But,
no, I have something to promote at the end.
Okay. So, yes. So, skip forward 5 minutes. 10 minutes. I'll figure it out.
You're going to do a 10-minute outro? Go ahead.
So, in the final reveal, after... So, the heist is set up where, in the beginning, they stole an empty truck, and that's how they're going to get into the Federal Reserve. They rob a different bank to, like, throw off Gerard Butler's crew.
And they never explain why that really happened.
And then... They use that bank to make a deposit at the Federal Reserve. That's how they get into the Federal Reserve. And then the heist is Merriman and 50 Cent sitting in a room.
Drinking Cokes.
Having a Coke. It was a really nice product placement. The guy
amazing.
Goes, go have a Coke.
You go sit there and you have a Coke.
Meanwhile, Ice Cube's son, like, they brought him in, like, hidden in the money that they were going to deposit. And he gets out. And they
crawls
have
through a vent that's the vault air vent is conveniently next to the public bathroom in the lobby. Like, that was the fucking almost stand up and get out of the theater moment. The fact that Ice Cube's son escapes through a vent that is conveniently the other end of it, which isn't a long crawl for this fat boy, but he gets out in under 3 minutes and it's into the main lobby. It's right into the cafeteria, the employee cafeteria.
Well, yeah, because he
left Chinese food there a week prior to then hand
so
out.
That he
this
could
makes,
be,
I'm sorry if you're
it's
listening.
How he gets out of the Federal Reserve is that he's posing as the Chinese delivery man so he can leave. Then there's the big Heat shootout, which is awful.
Not even close to as good as Heat. Like, Heat's the best heist movie shootout ever.
Right, so, like, you can't compare it, but...
You notice how they tried to copy, too, with the cars backing up? Like, it was very Heat.
It was a carbon copy of Heat. And 50 Cent goes down, and then the other robber goes down.
Yeah. One guy got shot in the neck bad. Cheddar Bob from 8 Mile.
he gets good.
Fucking right. It's almost precision shock to the carotid artery.
And one of Gerard Butler's crew goes down. I think the Hispanic guy.
We're going down shot for shot, yeah.
And then, eventually Gerard Butler, like, tracks Merriman down, kills him, whatever. But then, the big reveal is... Ice Cube's son was pulling the strings all along. The heist was his idea. You've been led to believe that Merriman brought him in on it. He actually brought Merriman in on it. And he gets away scot-free with the money. Merriman never got the money.
Yes.
And you see Gerard Butler's going, oh, shit. And he does, like, the look off into the sky and smile because, like, good for that guy.
And lights a cigarette.
Yeah. And then they fast forward to... And so... Ice Cube's son got the idea, like, working in the bar and, like...
Was listening to employees at the reserve just spill all the intricate details about their job.
And where the vents lead.
Oh, Mike, did you notice that the fucking vents lead right to the employee cafeteria?
You ever notice the money counting room smells like shit?
Yeah.
Because it's right next to the bathroom?
Yeah. Like, do you know that if somebody just hidden the money and then just went through the vent, they could go right out the main lobby? Like, the Federal Reserve didn't think about setting up the venting a little better?
So then they fast forward, you're in London, and Ice Cube's son's working at a new bar, and you see all the accomplices that he had in the first heist that you didn't, they didn't show you in the, that they were accomplices. You found out, like, through flashbacks that they were in on it.
Yeah.
Michael Bisping, UFC fighter, walks into the bar. Let me get a pint for all my mates. And he asks, oh, you work at the Diamond Exchange?
Ice Cube's son is bartending again at a different bar. Says this to him.
In his British accent.
Awful British accent.
And then the movie cuts to the end. He's going to do another heist. This is the setup for the... Like, we didn't want to commit to heist the Heat's, like, or the town's finale, where it's like, no, this is the end of it. We were leaving room open for a Den of Thieves 2. With, like, who do you cast as British... Gerard Butler. It's a shame that you got Gerard Butler
because Ricky Gervais. That's the only way I would.
No, he's the uptight Scotland Yard FBI guy.
I just want to see Ricky Gervais getting caught cheating in a such scene like that. Oh yeah, you're just a bad bitch. Yeah,
it's just a bad bitch. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, you bad bitch. I was saying, it's straight theater, love. It's
don't you hate religion?
Don't you hate religion?
Don't fucking watch that movie.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I wanted to say one thing before we nod out here.
What do you got?
Before we nod out. Thank you all for listening for the third episode. We appreciate all the viewers we do have on an unpromoted podcast so far. We haven't been doing that heavy on social media presence, none whatsoever. But after this episode, we're going to be stronger with that, and we're going to be sending you more information. You'll be getting pictures. We're going to be putting tweets out there, everything. If you want to follow any of us separately on Twitter, we're going to be setting up our own Twitters, making that available for you.
You want to plug the official Twitter while you're doing this?
3@z at twitter.com. Is that the, don't they give you a login?
Well, it's just @3WithZ.
@3WithZ. For me, for my comedy, you could see me this weekend at Governor's on February 3rd at 7:30 on Saturday. Rob will be there in the crowd, so if any of you ladies, you know, just went through chemo, you want to sit next to Rob.
I won't pull your hair.
He won't pull your hair. Oh my God, that might be really bad we said that, but alright. Rob, see you later, kiddo.
See you later, kiddo.